Our text this evening is found in Luke chapter 7, and it's verses 12 to 15. Verses 12 to 15, and we read there. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. In eastern countries, because of the intense heat, when a person dies, they are buried without delay. Quite often, the very same day they die, they are buried. It is possible then to be speaking to a man in the morning and to be attending the funeral of the same man in the evening of the same day. Now, the funeral arrangements in the days of Christ were very simple. There was no coffin as we know it. The remains were simply wrapped in clothing appropriate for the occasion. And they were then, the body was then placed on a, what is called a bier. Now, a bier is just like an open canvas stretcher. It's like an open coffin with no lid. That is why the young man was able to sit up when the Lord spoke to him. Now, the Jews didn't bury their dead amongst the living, but they always buried them outside of the village or the city in which they lived. They took them outside and they were interned in a cave or a specially hewn out tomb in the rocks themselves. And we are looking here this evening at a funeral in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, any funeral is a sad occasion, but it is difficult to find a funeral that is more sad and more distressing than the one we read about in this passage of Scripture. To begin with, the funeral is the funeral of a young man who has died right in the prime of his life. Moreover, he is the only son in the family. And to make matters even more sorrowful, his mother was a widow woman. The Bible speaks about the mourning of an only son in Jeremiah chapter 6 and the verse 26 as being most bitter lamentation. And we have such an occasion here before us tonight. Now, it was a big funeral. We see there in verse 12 that it says she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Many, no doubt, were shocked at what had happened, and they had come to give their sympathy and support to this poor woman, and they were making their way to the tomb itself. And just as they were leaving the city of Nain, they met the Lord Jesus Christ. He was coming into the city, and there was a great crowd of people with him. The Bible tells us there in verse 11 that many of his disciples went with him, and much people. So here you have two great crowds of people. You have this poor widow woman and a large crowd of mourners and friends that are coming out of the city. And you have the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples. And the Bible describes a group as much people coming into the city. And the stage is set for one of the most remarkable miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ ever performed in the days of his flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ did something that no mere mortal man would ever dare to do. He stopped the funeral procession. He went over to the woman and he comforted her as only the Lord Jesus Christ could comfort. And then he turned around and he spoke to the corpse. We see there in verse 14 that it says, And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Nobody else could speak like that, only Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 15, And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And this evening, I want to look at this funeral and I want to draw lessons from it. Now, first of all, if we look at this young man, I want to look at the reason for his death. The Bible only tells us in verse 12 that there was a dead man carried out. The Bible does not tell us how this young man died. We have no way of discerning how he died, whether or not he died as the result of an accident, whether or not he was murdered, or whether or not his life was taken from him as the result of an illness. We have no way of knowing. We cannot tell how this young man died. But the Word of God does tell us why this young man died. Because the Bible says that we're to compare Scripture with Scripture. And Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." The reason for this young man's death was sin. You see, God, who created man, created him perfect and sinless. And man would have indeed lived forever. For it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man was created sinless and perfect, and he would have lived forever. Except that we read over in Romans chapter 5, "By one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The reason that this crowd of people were gathered together was to mourn the inevitable consequence of sin. This young man was dead, there can be no doubt about it. It was a funeral procession, that's why everybody was there. Now, if we study this scene, we have an illustration of each and every one of us here tonight before God. Each and every one of us here spiritually before God. We have an illustration of our natural state tonight. You see, that's the way that God looks upon us. Every one of us here tonight, apart from divine grace, is spiritually dead. There was a verse in the Bible when the Lord was speaking to a man that would be a disciple. And the Lord said to that young man, "Let the dead bury the dead." You see, the Bible speaks about those who are the walking dead. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, it would be my prayer that the Lord would reveal that to you tonight. That the Lord would reveal to you your spiritual condition as far as He is concerned. You see, although you may have physical life, in the eyes of God, if you're not saved tonight, the Bible says that you're spiritually dead. You're dead to God and you're dead to the things of God. Notice also that this dead man was a young corpse. All of us here tonight are dead from our youth up. If you're a young person in this meeting tonight, then you're a young person dead in trespasses and in sin. If you're a middle-aged person in this meeting tonight, then you're a middle-aged person dead in trespasses and in sin. And if you're an older person in this meeting tonight, then you're an older person dead in trespasses and in sin, because that is our natural state before God. We are born by practice. We are born by nature and then by practice spiritually dead. And if there's anyone here tonight that would try and escape that fact, you're fighting a losing battle. Don't you dare try and sit there tonight and try and argue with the Word of God and say that you're not a sinner. Because if there's anybody that would try and argue with the Word of God tonight and say that they're not a sinner in God's eyes, then I'll ask you one question. One simple question. And that question is this: why are you dying? Why is it that one day your friends and your family will be attending your funeral? And the reason is because of the fact that you have sinned. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that was the reason for this young man's death. If we go on to look at our text, we'll also see the result of his death. The result of the death of this young man was grief and sorrow. This is clearly revealed to us in verses 12 and 13 of our text. This man's death resulted in a funeral at Nain. Now, any funeral would be a sad occasion. But it is difficult to imagine a funeral that is more sad and more distressing than the one here described. To see just how distressful an occasion this is and how sorrowful it is, you need to examine the people that make up the group that are here. Now, if we look at the people here that make up this funeral procession, you can see that they can be broken up into three parties. First of all, there's the widow woman. Secondly, there's the crowd of mourners. And then thirdly, there's the dead young man himself. Now, if we look first of all at the mother, this mother was attending the funeral of a son. And how deep is the grief of a mother over the death of her son? But you know, there are godly women in this country tonight. And even though they're saved, even though they know the joy of God's salvation in their hearts, they're mourning the fact that their sons are spiritually dead in the eyes of God. There are women in this province tonight, and they bewail the fact that every time they look upon their son or upon their daughter, they're looking upon somebody who is spiritually dead in the eyes of their Saviour. The funeral procession for these young men have seemed to their mothers to be a perpetual one, to go on and on. A funeral that is never over. These women have watched their young sons who have been dead for years get closer and closer to the grave. Like the woman of Nain, they are overcome by the grief produced of the death of a son. But the grief experienced by this mother in Nain is manifoldly increased by the fact that it was her only son. It's bad enough to have one son outside of Christ, but to have an only son outside of Christ. And how many mothers are there in this province tonight and they've got just one son or just one daughter outside of Christ? Young person, if you've ever thought about the grief that you're bringing your parents over the fact that you're not saved. But there's one more fact about this woman in our text that reveals the depths of the distress. It says there in verse 12 that she was a widow woman. You see, this woman had already buried her husband as well. And how many godly women are there in this country, and they're bewailing the facts that their husbands are outside of Christ? How many godly women are there in this country, and every time they wake up in the morning and they fix their eyes upon that man that they love with all their hearts, they realise that they're in love with a corpse, because that man cannot have any fellowship with their Saviour. The second party at this funeral the Bible describes as much people of the city. You see, this young man had many friends and many relatives that were affected by his death. You see, sinner, your spiritual state doesn't just affect you, but it affects every single person that you know. There are people that you know, whether friends or family, and they're bewailing the fact tonight that they can have no fellowship with you because of the fact that you're outside of Christ. They would just love to sit down and to read over the Bible with you. They'd just love to sit down and really open up their hearts and to speak about the great doctrines of the book. But they can't tonight because you're dead. You know, when I think about my own family, none of them are saved. My mother or my father or my two sisters. And there's nothing that I'd love more than just to be able to sit down and even discuss the gospel with them. To sit down and to be able to pray with them and to hear them speak to the Lord. But I can't tonight because of the fact that they're spiritually dead and they've got no interest whatsoever in the things of God. And there are others, and they may be grieved at just how far sin has influenced you. You see, sinner, spiritual death soon produces many causes for sorrow. I'm sure we could make a big list tonight of all the things that the devil uses to split up families and to split up marriages. And there are those people, and they love you with a sincere love. There are those people that know you, sinner, and they're praying for you with all their hearts, but they're bewailing the fact of just how far sin has brought you down. The devil has many traps to ensnare you with. And then the final party at this funeral procession is the dead man himself. Now you may ask me the question, how can a dead man experience grief? Well, my answer to that would be that perhaps the most solemn thought that's revealed in this passage of Scripture before us tonight is seen there in the words of verse 12. It says there was a dead man carried out. And if you're not saved tonight, then you're being carried along. You're being carried out into eternity just as fast as time can carry you. You're heading to that place of the grave, that place that's typified by the tomb itself. And you're being borne along to that place of eternal grief. And there's not a thing that you can do to stop it. That place where the Bible says that there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is here that the souls of the spiritually dead must go. It is only here that true eternal grief is realized. You see, if you could speak to anybody in hell tonight, friend, they'd tell you the grief that they experience. Since my wife and I have been in this country 3 years now, three people whom we personally know back home have all died. Three men. All three of those men were family men. One was a relative on my wife's side. One was a man that I used to work with. And one was another man who was actually responsible for bringing my wife and I together. And tonight, all three of those men are dead, and none of them left a testimony to the saving grace of Christ. While we sit here in this meeting tonight, those three men are in hell. They'll never ever know the love of the Saviour, and it doesn't matter what I preach or what any minister preaches from now until eternity. Those three men are lost. The reason for this young man's death and the result of this young man's death. And finally, we notice also his resurrection from the dead. We see it there in verses 14 and 15. Here we've got the glorious moment when this young man, on his way to the place of death, on his way to the tomb and the darkness of the tomb, meets Christ. He meets the Saviour. And in verse 14, we read the words, "And he," speaking about the Lord, "came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And that's why we're here tonight, as the Lord's ambassadors, as the Lord's messengers, to call dead people to life. Now you may ask the question, how can the dead hear? Well, what is impossible with man is gloriously possible with God. For the Bible says, in fact the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, over in John chapter 5 and the verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." At this very moment, sinner friend, you who are dead, who are being carried along on the shoulders of time to the place of eternal death, The Lord Jesus Christ offers you the opportunity of having your funeral procession halted. The Lord Jesus Christ offers you the opportunity of receiving the gift of eternal life, because He alone has the authority to make the call, because He alone was the one who gave His life upon Calvary's cross to die for you. The scriptures speak about the Good Shepherd, and they say that the Good Shepherd gave His life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ, because He loved you, died upon Calvary's cross for you. He died in your place. He partook of all that death and sin had to throw at Him, so that you didn't have to. And tonight, there's only one mediator between God and man. You're a sinner in God's eyes. You're heading towards a lost eternity. And there's only one person in this meeting tonight that can help you. There's only one person that can stop your funeral procession, and that's Christ. And that is what happened to the widow of Nain's son. And that is the testimony of every true Christian in this house tonight. Anybody that's in this meeting tonight that's saved, if I would ask you how you got saved, surely that's the exact answer you'd give me. That one day someone spoke to you the gospel, and you who were dead heard the voice of God and come to life. The reason for this young man's death was sin, and that'll be the reason for your death tonight, friend. The result of this young man's death was grief and sorrow. And that's all that sin will ever bring you, friend, is grief and sorrow. And his resurrection from the dead was by Christ and by Christ alone. For he alone has the authority to make the call. And I just close with one final thought. When you think about these two groups of people that met right in the very gates of the city, this poor widow woman and the big funeral procession coming out of the city, and the Lord Jesus Christ and that large crowd of people coming into the city. When you think about it, if that widow woman and the funeral procession had have just been a few minutes sooner, they would have missed the Lord. Or if the Lord and His disciples had have just been a few moments sooner, then those two groups of people would have passed and would never have met. But you know, it was foreordained in eternity past that the Lord would speak to the dead and raise them to life that day. And sinner friend, you may have only made the decision at the very last minute tonight to come along to this meeting, but you were foreordained in eternity past to be here tonight. May you be one of those that hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Shall we just bow together for a word of prayer, please?